begin the current daf Masechta Shabbos daf Chaf Aleph. Begin on the top line of the Yomid, and the Gemara continues the theme of the previous daf, which introduced the new perek, the second perek Masechta Shabbos, which discuss about the things that we're allowed to light with as wicks for the Neris of Shabbos, and those things which we're not allowed to. So now the Gemara clarifies and begins with a brayis, Tan Rabban. Kol Eilu She'amru, all those things that we said in our Mishnah, that ain madlik mem Shabbos, that we cannot light with them on Shabbos, that they're not valid wicks to be used for the Neris of Shabbos. Aval oisin mehen medur, but you can use them to make a large fire out of them. Bein lehischam connect, whether you're using it to warm yourself opposite that fire. Bein lehishtamish le'oyer, whether you're using it for the light of it. Bein lagabe karka, whether it's on the ground. Bein lagabe kir, whether it's on the stove. And that is v'loy osru el lasmen psidul nerbevad, this that we prohibited the use of these items, which were delineated in the Mishnah that can't be used to light a fire on Shabbos. That was only that you can't make it as a wick for a lamp on Shabbos. That's a problem, as we learned in the Mishnah, regarding because it's not going to hold well, and you might have to come to tilt it that it shall light better. However, regarding making a fire out of it for warming or for looking at it, either way, that's not going to be a problem, and you can use it for a regular fire on Shabbos. Now the Gemara continues quoting from the Mishnah. One of the items that we said that cannot be used is v'loy b'shem and kik v'chul. Now, this type of oil cannot be used as the fuel for the candle. So the Gemara inquires, my shem and kik, what is shem and kik? So the Gemara gives three different explanations what it is. Amar Shmuel says, she'altinu l'chon l'chusa yam, I inquired by all the seafarers, v'amuli, and they told me that it's oif echad yesh b'kerach hayam, there's one bird that's by the seaport cities, v'kik shemai, and it's called kik, and that is the oil from that bird. They, if you put that in the can, in the container, in the menorah, and the candelabra, and you light it, that will burn as fuel, but that cannot be used on Shabbos, again, because the wick will not draw the oil in it properly. A second pshat the Gemara brings what shem and kik. Rav Yitzchak b'Reidah of Yehudama, it's mishcha de kaza, it's cottonseed oil. And that, again, is not a proper oil to be used for the Neris of Shabbos. And the third pshat the Gemara brings, Rish Lakash ama kikoyin de yayna, it's the oil that comes from the kikoyin, which was a type of plant that yayna had planted, which is brought in the sefer yayna. That type of plant, the oil that comes from there, again, cannot be used for the Neris of Shabbos. So the Gemara comments that Rabbi Bachana, l'didi chazi l'kikoyin d'yoyna, I saw this kikoyin d'yoyna, this certain type of plant that Yoyna had planted after he left Nineveh. V'litzloy liva dami, and it resembles a litzloy liva, which is a large type of a tree that has leaves that are very thick, and it has a certain type of oil that's a castor oil. U'medivshiki rav, and it grows from ponds. In other words, where the water grows, that's where this kikoyin grows. Malpum chanusa madlin yase, and by the entrance of the stores they hang this plant, and that is because that it provides good shade and has a good smell. Umpartidoihi avi mishcha, and then from the kernels, from this kikoyin, they produce oil, and that's exactly the idea we're saying, that oil cannot be used for the Ner Shabbos. Uvanfoi naichen kol brichi de marava, and under the branches rested all the sick in the west. In other words, a reference to those narratives, well, that they use it to rest under it again. So it's a very a beautiful tree, and it provides a lot of different usages, but again, it cannot be used as the oil for the Neris of Shabbos. So those are the three different shatim, what this Shem and Kik is. Now the Gemara says a general rule defining all the different things we said two categories in our Mishnah that cannot be used regarding you can't light with certain type of wicks and with certain type of fuel. So now the Gemara clarifies. Amar Rab, all these different wicks that our sages said you can light with them on Shabbos, that's because the flame flickers in them. And that is, it jumps and it doesn't stay in one place. Or another variation of this is that it doesn't go into the wick, rather it goes around it. So either way, it's not going to hold on to the wick, and therefore it cannot be used because, again, it won't hold on, and you might come to go ahead and light it on Shabbos, or it's not going to be even fulfilling having the candle because it's not going to stay there. Shmanim Shalom Chacham Ein Madlikim Hen, regarding all the different oils, the fuels that they said they cannot be used for the Neris of Shabbos, that's when they she'enim shachan archa psil, that's because they're not drawn after the wick. And that is, the wick is not going to be pulling out all the oil directly. And therefore, you might come to what's called shemiyati, you might come to tilt the oil and the wick to get it to actually burn better and light. Therefore, we're concerned both by these types of wicks, where they don't hold the flame well, and regarding the oils that the wicks don't draw those oils in. So therefore, those types of categories are the ones that are said in our Mishnah that they're invalid for the Neris of Shabbos. So now the Gemara brings, b'limine abayim rabba. Shmanim she'amar chacham ein madlikim mehem b'Shabbos. Regarding all these different oils that the Chacham said in our Mishnah on the previous daf that one cannot light with them on Shabbos, the question is, ma'u she'itin l'teichin shemen kol shu'v yadlik. What's the halacha? Can someone put in a small amount of proper fuel, that's good oil, and so to speak, and light it now with all this other fuel that's not kosher? In other words, now it's going to be drawing after that fuel because it has that, let's say, olive oil, for example, or any kosher oil. The question is, are we concerned that although if you put in a little bit of kosher oil, that now it's going to help all the fuel go through that almost like a conduit into the wick, so therefore it should be kosher? Or do we say that we're geyser, we decree that maybe if we let you light with all this, let's say, shemen kick, non-kosher fuel, and even though you're putting just a small amount of kosher fuel, then you might come to light it only by itself, the non-kosher fuel, or were we not geyser assisting? So Amalei, Imad Likens, he says, no, you can't light, although you're putting in a little bit of kosher oil that's, so to speak, helping now the wick draw it in, still we don't light. So he asked him, my time, what's the reason? So he answered, Lefish Imad Likens, because we don't light. Which that means to say, since we don't light with this as it is when it stands alone, so therefore we decreed that we can't even light together when it has even some a small amount of kosher fuel, because again, that's there that you might come to light it on its own. So therefore, Esve, Abaya asked back on Rabbo, that it seems to be from a brisa, not like what you're saying, Rabbi. Because we learned as follows. Karach davar shemadlikin boy. If someone wrapped something that we are allowed to light as a wick on Shabbos, al gabi davar shemadlikin boy, on top of something that we're not allowed to light it. So, for example, all those different cases in our mission that said they're not good wicks, if you wrapped around it something that you are allowed to, it says in the brisa, imadlikin boy, that you can't light with it because the inside has something that's not a kosher wick. Oimir Bishim Gleel says, in my father's house, they used to wrap a wick around the nut, and then they would light. So therefore, we find that by Reb Shimon that he says that you are allowed to light, in spite of the fact that obviously a nut is not a good wick, and that is because it has this mixture, so to speak, of a kosher wick on top of this non-kosher. So therefore, we see that we don't decree, at least if you have an element that will draw it, although it has, so to speak, a non-kosher wick with it, that it will be kosher. So here also, L'chayr Rabbi, you're incorrect, that if you add a little bit of kosher oil, it should be kosher, and then when that goes, so Amalei, so Rabbi responded to Abaya, the most of the Shem Gamliel, if you're asking me from Shem Gamliel, see Anim at the Tanakama, but then you could support me from the other sheet, that this is a machloikas over in the Braisa. I have support from the Tanakama, why are you asking from the other opinion? So to that Abaya says, L'chayr Kasha, that's not a difficulty, why it's stronger, my opinion, which is coming from Shem Gamliel, than what you're coming from the Tanakama, because Maiser Rav, because a practice of something is greater. And that is since he said testimony that in his father's house, this was actually what they used to do, that's a greater testimony of Halacha than if someone just says an opinion, because we see this is actually how people do it. So therefore, since in Reb Shimon Gamliel's father's house, they used to light together with the non-kosher wick, which was the nut, and the kosher wick, and we see that a tarubis is not a problem, we don't decree that you might light just with, let's say, a nut. So therefore, L'chayritz, you're incorrect, Rabbah. As the Gemara says, Mekom Akam Kasher, so therefore it is difficult to Rabbah. So therefore, the Gemara says, and as a follow-up to the question, my lav lahadlik, wasn't this what it was saying, that they used to wrap a kosher wick around the nut, and that is, it would be lightened together with the nut? So, and therefore, that's shver according to Rabbi. So the Gemara says, loy, lahakpois. The purpose of the nut was not being used at all as a wick. Rather, it was making that it should float. That is, it was having the wick on top of the nut that was helping to support it, that it shouldn't sink into the oil. So that was helping it float. And therefore, it's not difficult. It has nothing to do with the case at hand. It was just a way of helping it float. But if it was actually part of the wick, then it would be a non-kosher, because we would decree that you might come to light with the non-kosher one alone. To that Abaye says, Ila Hakbis, if the whole purpose of that egges was to just help it float, so then my time at the Tanakama, what would be the understanding of the Tanakama that he says that it's usher in the case where he's arguing with Reb Shimon Gamliel? But what's wrong with it? It's a kosher wick that's just being helped to float by the egges. So on that Rabbi says that it's not a Tanakama with Reb Shimon Gamliel. Kulo Reb Shimon Gamliel here, it's all one opinion of Reb Shimon Gamliel. The Chsur Mechster, and the text is lacking as follows of Hochikitani, and this is how he's supposed to read the Braisa. Karach davash emadlikin boy, al gabi davash emadlikin boy. If someone wraps something that you're allowed to light on top of something that you're not allowed to light with, then emadlikin boy, that's as Rabbi had said, because you can't use a mixture of something that's not kosher because you might come to use it on its own. On that, the Braisa said, b'med v'mamum lahadlik, that's only if you're using that non-kosher item to light. But if the non-kosher item is just being used to help the kosher wick float, that would be mutter. As Reb Gamliel says, that they used to float a wick on top of a nut, and that is, we see that this idea that it's not a problem if it's just being used to float, but again, if it would be a mixture of a wick, then it would be us. So on that, the Gemara asks, Eni, is it really so that as Rabbi said that it's forbidden to mix this non-kosher together with the kosher, and then there would be usr, because we are geizer one and the other. However, the Gemara asks, V'amar Rav Bruno, Amar Rav, we learned chelev mehutach regarding melted tallow, which is a certain type of fat. Bekirvei dogim shenemoich, and regarding these fish innards that were dissolved, the halacha is, Adam noisen l'toich shemen kosher, like a person could put in a little bit, a minute amount of kosher oil, and lie with that. So therefore, that seems to be directly opposite of what Rabbi said. That he said that you can't have a little bit kosher, so to speak, to rectify it, because we decreed that maybe you're going to use it on its own. Here we see specifically, we know that chelev mehutach and kirvei dogim shenemoichu, these fish innards that were dissolved, and this melted tallow cannot be used as oil for Shabbos. And yet, when we add a little bit, we explicitly that it could be used. So Rabbi says, there it's different. And he says as follows, Hani mimshechi beinayu, those cases of the melted tallow and the fish innards that were dissolved, they are drawn after by themselves. And that is, there, the wick draws that fuel. And that's even without the mixture of kosher oil. The only reason is, as the Gemara is going to say in a moment, that the Rabbanu, they decreed that you're not allowed to use this melted tallow and the fish in it, because you might use the non-melted version. And therefore, we make a gzera of one for the other. But we're not going to come now and make another gzera of saying that you can't use it even with a mixture because you might use it separately, and you can't use it separately because then you might come to use it when it's not melted, as the Gemara says. So that case is that they really are drawn after themselves. And it's just a gzera that you can't use it because it for the case of when it's not melted. But Bahani, but the case of our Mishnah, Le'mimshecha Be'inayu, there it is not drawn after, it doesn't pull it at all. They're not good fuels. And therefore the Gemara says, V'gazra bonna chelev mehotach mishum chelev she'in mehotach. Really, these cases of the chelev mehotach and the kibur dogim shenemoichu, they're really kosher. But the Rabban made a decree because we don't let you use the melted fats because you might use the fats that are not melted, which there it doesn't draw it well because it's solid. And similarly, val kibur dogim shenemoichu mishum kibur dogim shelo nemoichu, we don't let you use the fish innards that dissolve because of the fish innards that were not dissolved. And therefore, v'ligzin nami chelev mehotach bekibur dogim shenemoichu shenoslam teich Hashem. So should we decree regarding the case of the melted fat and the dissolved fish innards, that when you put in a little bit of kosher fuel, because of the case that maybe you're going to use this melted fat and the dissolved fish innards when on its own without oil, but it itself is gzeira. Really, those are kosher fuels. And it's only because we're concerned that you might use it when it's not liquefied. Now we should make a double gezer. We never do that. We don't make a gzeil gezer. And therefore, it's not shver according to Rabbi. That really all the cases of our Mishnah are usher. They're prohibited even when it is a mixture. And why over here did we say explicitly from Reb Brun in the name of Rav that if it is mixed together, this chelev mehutach and this fish innards that are dissolved together with a little kosher fuel, that it is kosher? That's because it would be a gzeir l'gzeir to say that it's us, and that we don't do. We don't make a double-headed gzeir drabon, and that's why there it's kosher. But all the cases which are not good, they're not good minatayr, they're not good fuels, there we say that we do make that one gzeir of saying that you can't have it even if it's mixed with kosher oil. Now the Gemara brings Tanaram Bachama, Psilus Shmonim Sham Chacham Eidman Likim Hem B'Shabbos. Regarding all the cases that we had in our Mishnah, regarding the wicks and the fuels, the oils that can't be used to light for Shabbos, Eidman Likim Hem B'Mikdash, you're not allowed to light with those type of wicks and fuel in the Beis HaMikdash, Mishum Shenem, because it says in the Pasuk, Lahalas Ner Tamid, regarding the menorah, it says that one should kindle the lamp continually. That's what the Brisa says. From that Pasuk, we see that we're not allowed to use these types of wicks and fuel in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says that Hutani Labu Amala, he taught this Brisa, and he went and he explained exactly where did we see from this Pasuk that we can't use these types of wicks and fuel because of Lahalas Ner Tamid, that one should light the lamp continuously. So he explained as follows, because the idea is, from the word lahalos, it's an interesting terminology of to kindle, doesn't say lahadlik, it says lahalos, that it should be elevated. And that is that the flame should ascend by itself, not that it should ascend through other means. And that is that you shouldn't have to have a tikkun to adjust it and to have to tilt it. It should be able to go up by itself. And all these different types of wicks and fuel, they don't work so great. And you have to, so to speak, fix around, tinker with it. That's where we see from the pasuk, the halos ner tamid, that those things are not kosher. So the Gemara asks on this, now we learn in the Mishnah, mibloi michnasei hakahanim, from the worn-out trousers of the kahanim, umihem your name from their belts, they used to tear those worn-out clothing, and from those they used to light And that is, they used to rip their clothing, which were worn out, and they were like a shmata. And they would make these different wicks for the Sibchas Beis Sha'eva, which was an Eses Nashim. And they used to, one of the articles they used were the belts of the Kahana. Now, the belts of the Kahana were made from klayim. As it said in the Pasuk Vesa'avnit regarding the gartel, the belt that the Kahana had, says it was made from sheish masar, from linen, with tchelis, vargamen, and blue wool, and purple wool. And the Gemara says in elsewhere that tchelis was made from wool. And therefore, we see that this is what they live in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's in spite of the fact that wool is one of those things that we said that cannot be used for lighting purposes because it doesn't light well. And still we see that they were able to use wool. So how could you say that whatever cannot be used for Shabbos can be used in Beis HaMikdash? But we see explicitly that they used it in the Beis HaMikdash when they lit for the Simchas Beis She'eva, that they used the wicks made out of wool because it was coming from the belts of the Kahanim, which had wool in it. So the Gemara says, Simchas Beis She'eva She'ani, regarding the rejoicing of the Beis She'eva when they draw the water on Sukkot, on Chol HaMoed, that was different. Because there it doesn't say lahalois, it wasn't a mitzvah d'oraisa that lighting. Therefore, that didn't have to have the requisite lahalois that it should be lit on its own, and that it needs to be supported to ascend, and that's why there was mutter. But regarding the avoid, regarding lighting the menorah, there of course we couldn't use wicks made out of wool, just that we can't use it on Shabbos. So Gemara says, bring Toshma, bring another raya. The Tani Rabbi Bar Masna, we learned as the following in the Brisa, big de kuhuna shabal, regarding the priestly vestments, the clothing of the kanim that got worn out, mafki nois, and they used to rip it up. And from that they used to make wicks for the Beis HaMikdash. So my love, the klum, isn't it obvious that we're talking about things that have wool and linen in them, for example, like the belt, the avnet of the Kahanim, and still we see that it was used for the wicks in the Beis HaMikdash, not for the Simchas Beis She'eva. So the Gemara says, loy de butz. We're talking about those things that are made out of linen. In other words, they didn't take those things from the gartel, from the belt. And that is for the wicks in the Beis HaMikdash, for the menorah, that they used other items that they use to make wicks out of it. But made out of wool, we can't use, again, just like by Shabbos, so too by the Beis HaMikdash. Now the Gemara brings a new sugya for the next three dafim, next three blot, regarding the halachas of Chanukah. And that's, again, because we're talking about the halachas of the psilis and the shmonim, the different wicks and oils that could be used. And that is, we said that not just by Shabbos, the same applies to the Beis HaMikdash. Now the Gemara transitions that the same thing would apply to Chanukah. Now the Gemara brings three different opinions regarding this coming machlekes. Rav Huna says, again, regarding these wicks and these oils that the Chacham said you can't use to light for Shabbos, one cannot light with them for Chanukah, and that's Beim B'Shabbos, Beim B'Chol, whether it's on Shabbos that one's lighting the Ner Chanukah, whether for the weekday. And the Gemara explains what's the reason. It doesn't have to have L'chayr the same thing as Shabbos, that you're not allowed to go ahead and fix it. It doesn't have the Pasuk L'halas Ner Tamid that has to ascend by itself. Why can't it be a type of a wick or fuel that you can go ahead and tinker with and help it out? What's the difference? So Rabbi says, my time to Rav Huna. What is the understanding of his opinion? So he says as follows. Ksavr he holds, Kavsa, if the Ner Chanukah gets extinguished, Zalkukla, a person is obliged, he's obligated to go ahead and then to fix it, to rectify it. And that's why, therefore, L'ketchila, you have to make sure that it's a proper wick and fuel, because then maybe a person might be negligent and he's not going to fix it. And that's why there's an obligation that he should light it with good wicks and fuel, just like by Shabbos, because if it goes out, as these are wont to do, because they're not good wicks and fuel, a person might not go ahead and fix it, and has to light the entire time of the Ner Chanukah has to be lit. And since it, again, you have to relight it, so that's why we said, tell you, L'ketchila, you should use fuel and wicks that are good and going to last and won't go out, because we're afraid that if it goes out, you might not go ahead and relight it, and then you're not going to be yetzer the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. And moreover, his opinion is that that a person is allowed to use the illumination that comes from the Ner Chanukah. And therefore, on Shabbos, it's us to use this Ner Chanukah, because maybe you're going to tilt it for your own purpose, because since you can use it, we're allowed to use it. So therefore, since you might come to tilt it, and therefore, if you're going to use wicks and fuel that are not good, they don't light well, so therefore you might come to tilt it that it should burn well. We're concerned on Shabbos, therefore on Chol you can't use it. Again, that's because of the reason that it's, so to speak, we don't want it to extinguish, because if it does, you have to relight it, and maybe you're not going to, so therefore we want, like at Chila from the beginning, it should be good, proper wicks and fuel, and therefore on Shabbos you can't use it, because it might, since you're allowed to use it, it might, so to speak, be burning out, and you're going to tilt it to be able to see better. That's why you can't use it for the weekday or for Shabbos. Now the Gemara brings the second opinion. Rav Chisda Amar, Madlikim ben B'chayil, Avalei B'Shabbos. You're allowed to light with them on a weekday, but you can't light with them on Shabbos. As the Gemara brings, Ksavu, because he holds, and we continue on to Amad Beis, Kavsa, if it burns out, Ein zakukla. A person is not obligated to relight it, and that's why during the weekday it's permitted to use it because we don't care if it goes out. So therefore, it doesn't make a difference if it's a fuel or a wick that's not going to hold it well. However, his opinion is he holds like Rav Huna that a person is permitted to use it for its illumination, for its to be able to see it, and therefore on Shabbos it's forbidden to use it because again he might use it on Shabbos and it's going to be burning out. He might go ahead to tilt it, and then it's going to be over on the Isidar Isa of Havara. That's why on Shabbos you can't use it. So Amr Abzer, Amr Masna, Amr Lo, Amr Abzer, Amr Rav. This is the third opinion. He says Psilas Shmanim Shama Chacham. Ein madlikim ben Shabbos, regarding the wicks and the fuel that the Chacham said you can't use on Shabbos, madlikim ben mechanika ben mechayil ben Shabbos. You're allowed to light with the mechanika, whether on the weekday or whether on Shabbos. Both cases are permitted. Tosha Gemara says, "Amir Biyirim, in my time of the Rav, what's the understanding of his opinion? Ksavah, because he holds kavsa ein zakukla. If it goes out, it's extinguished. A person is not obligated to go ahead and relight it, and that's why in the weekday it's okay to use the fuel that's going to go out because it doesn't concern us." However, he holds it's forbidden to use the light for illumination. And that's because it has to be recognizable that it's for a ner mitzvah, and that is so that if you're going to be using it, it looks like you're doing it for yourself, not for the mitzvah of ner chanukah. It's not distinguished like that. So therefore, we have no concern then that you're going to go ahead and tilt it on Shabbos because you're not using it anyway to read for, to use for illumination. Therefore, on the weekday and on Shabbos, it's not a problem because, again, kavsa, you don't have to relight it. On Shabbos, you're not going to use it anyway, so you're not going to come to the gzera of shemayatim. So therefore, we have three different opinions regarding this machlokes about the Neir Chanukah, if it can be used with the same wicks and the fuel that can be used on Shabbos. And the weekday and Shabbos would depend on, respectively, on weekday, it depends if it's Kavsa Zakula, if you have to relight or not. If you have to relight it, then it's going to be that you cannot use it just like on Shabbos because you might be negligent not relight it. And regarding Shabbos, it depends on if you're allowed to have Hanah from the candles or not. And that is if you cannot, if you are allowed to have the Hanah from it. So therefore, concerned that on Shabbos, if it's going to be going out, you might go ahead and tilt it that you should get good light. Then it would be also on Shabbos. And if not, then it's Mutter. That's what the three different opinions depend on these two different svaras regarding weekday and on Shabbos. Now the Gemara brings a story related to this. That this halacha was said in front of Abaye in the name of Rabbi Yirmiya, and it wasn't mekabel this halacha. And that is, it was, so to speak, wasn't chashev in his eyes to rely on his opinion. Later on, it was told to him in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, then he was mekabel the halacha. And Amr, he said, Izakoi, had I been worthy. And that is, if I would have been worthy to have learned it at that time, when I heard it the first time, I would have, so to speak, learned it the first time around when I heard it in the name of Rav, and I wouldn't have had to wait till I hear it in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. And that is, this was the third opinion, which was that it's going to be mutter, both on the weekday and on Shabbos. Again, as we said, because kavsa ain't zakakla, and that you're not allowed to have a no from it anyway. So the Gemara asked, but Baha Gamra, but he learned it now. What's the difference that he would have been worthy, he would have learned it at a younger age. He knows it now. What's the difference? So the Gemara says, Nafkamina Lagirsa the Yankasim. The difference would be regarding the, because the studies of the youth, and that is what a person learns when, at a younger age, it stays with him longer and clearer and than it is in later age. And therefore that's the difference that it would have been, he would have had that mila in learning what's called Girsa the Yankasa, the studies that a person does when he's young. Now the Gemara asks, on both the opinion of Rav and Rav Chisda, that they said that kavsa ein zakukla, that they said if it goes out, a person is not obligated to relight it. And that's why on the weekday it's mutter to light with things that, so to speak, they don't burn that well. So the Gemara asks, but kavsa ein zakukla, is it really true that if it's extinguished, that a person doesn't have to go ahead and relight it, even if it burnt out 2 minutes into Alokas Ner Chanukah? But Rimino will ask you, it seems we learned as follows. Mitzvasa, the mitzvah of the Ner Chanukah is, mishatishka hacham, for when the sun sets, until a passerby vanishes from the marketplace. That's the end of this man of Ner Chanukah. My love, isn't what the Bryce is saying as follows. The Ikav said that if it goes out, it's extinguished. That you have to relight it until, as it says, until the last one leaves the marketplace. It has to last that amount of time. So therefore, it seems that if it kavs, you are Zakala, you do have to relight it. So he must say, that's not true. It's telling us the Eloi Adlik Madlik, that if a person did not light yet, then he could still light up until that Zman, although it starts the Zman of when you were allowed to start lighting from Shkia, but it says that it's until when can you be Mekayim the Mitzvah? That's again until Tichle Regal Mashuk, that's until the last person leaves the marketplace. V'inam, another Peshat, what it's saying is L'shiure, for the measurement. And that is, you have to have that amount of oil that it could burn that amount from Shkia up until Tichle Regal Mashuk. However, if it goes out, obviously a person is not required to go ahead and relight it, and that is, as long as you lit it, even if it goes out 2 minutes later, it's not a problem, it's kavsa ain't zokukla, And therefore, again, you're allowed to light with any type of wick and any type of fuel because it doesn't bother us, so to speak, if it goes out. Those are two different pshatim of what it means, again, either that's the amount of time you have to light, or telling you the measurement, the amount of oil that you need to put in as you're going to light. Now the Gemara discusses this, what we just said, that up until the last pass, the passerby vanishes from the market. So the Gemara asks, how long is that? When is, so to speak, the last person leave the marketplace? So that's until the legs of the, so to speak, of the tamidoi vanish from the marketplace. That's up until when one could light the Ner Chanukah, or again, that's how much oil it has to have from Shkia up until that time. And this is the name of a certain nationality that they used to gather these little scraps of wood, and then they would stay in the marketplace until all the people that were in the market the whole day would go home to their house because it's dark. And then they wanted to go ahead and make fires for whatever purposes in their house to cook or to see. And then they would all come out to the market to get wood and to purchase from these Tamidoi. When they go home, then everything is over. And then that's the latest time that a person could, so to speak, have this presuming nisa that people outside just see it because no one's around anymore once it's time to go home. And the place can say that that's approximately around a half hour after Tzitzik HaChavim. That's the end of this man of Tichle Regal Nashuk. Now the Gemara continues with the halachas of Ner Chanukah regarding the different madrigas, the levels of Hidurim that a person could have regarding the mitzvah of this of Ner Chanukah. So turn up, we learn the brayos as follows. Mitzvah Chanukah, the mitzvah of the Ner Chanukah, is Ner Ish Ubeisa. It's a candle for a man and his house. In other words, that it's enough with one candle every single night. For the man and all the people in his house, it's enough with one candle. However, Mahadrin, those who pursue mitzvahs, and they have Ner L'kol Echad Ve'Echad. They make a candle for every single person in the house. And that is, so let's say there's 10 people in the house, every night is going to have 10 candles. V'amahadrin, min ha-mahadrin, those that are they most fervently pursued, they're really mahadrin, then they have the third tier. B'shamay say, yom rishon madlik shmoina, the first day you light 8 candles. Mekan ve'elach, p'riches v'haylach, and then from there on, then you continually decrease, you go 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. That's the mahadrin, min ha-mahadrin. B'shamayim, yom rishon madlik achas, that the first day you light one, and then from there on, then you increase and you continue 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So those are the three different madrigas. The Ikar Mitzvah is just one candle every night for every house, the Ner Ishu Beis. Second level is one candle for every single person in the house. So if there's three people, every night three. And the fourth level is Machlekes B'Sham, and the third level is Machlekes B'Sham Meisil. B'Sham says you start up with 8, and then you go down. And Meisil says you start up with 1, and you go up to number 8. So the Gemara brings a machloek is how to explain this different opinions of Bisham Mirsil. Omar Ula Pligaba Triama Roy Bimaraba. This was a machloek between two different Amayroim in Eretz Israel. That is Rabbi Yisrael Bar Oven, Rabbi Yisrael Bar Zvida. And they had a machloek is how to interpret this machloek is of Bisham Mirsil. Chado Metami de Bishamai Kenegid Yom Hamnechnos. And he says that the understanding of the opinion of Bisham was that it corresponds to the days that have yet to come. And the time of the Basil, connected Yab Mahayetzim, but the understanding of the Pinya Basil is that we count the days that have already passed. And that's why, and that's including the day that we're in that day. So therefore, you go 1, 2, 3, versus Bisham, speak about the days that have yet to come, that there's 8 days yet to come, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then you're finished with the Nerev Chanukah. That's the understanding of their Machlekes. B'chanama, the other one said that is a different interpretation. Time of the Bisham, connected Priachag. The reason of Bisham was that we are, so to speak, correlating to the different bull sacrifices that are brought on Sukkot, that there we start off with a certain amount, a large number, and we diminish every day of Sukkot. We get lower and lower as the Kabbonis are brought in Parashas Pinchas. Same, we use the same methodology, same format for the Yom Tov of Chanukah. We start off with the greater number and we go down. But Tamid Beis Hill and the understanding of the Beis Hill's reason is because the Ma'ilim HaKodesh Ve'Meridin, we only elevate regarding sacred matters and we don't lower, so therefore you can't start off with 8 and go down because every day has to get greater in Kedusha. So therefore we start off with 1 and we go up to 8 instead of starting with 8 and going down to the bottom. So the Gemara brings a story related to this that Amr Rabbah Rechon Amr B'Yechanan Shnei Zekinim Hoyi B'Tzidin. There were two elders in Tzidon. One did like Bishamai, she started with 8 and went down to 1. One did like Bishil, he started with 1, went up to 8. Zendais and Tamadvarv connected Priachag. This one said that the reason why he's doing this, which is like the opinion of Bishamai, because it correlates to the different bull sacrifices that are burned sukkahs. But Zendais and Tamadvarv, the one that did like Bishil, he said the reason is because the man of Makedesh Vayim Reedin, because you have to always elevate in sacred matters and you can't diminish it, you can't lower it. And that, again, was like the second interpretation of how we understand the Machlik's Bisham Bishil, why if we start from the bottom up or from the top down, which is that if it's Ma'al Mekodesh or Keneged the Priyachag. So now the Gemara continues with the halachas in Ner Chanukah regarding specifically where it has to be placed. Tana Banu Lin Abraisa. Ner Chanukah mitzvah l'hanicha Pesach Beisim b'chutz. Regarding the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, you have to place it by the doorway of one's house on the outside. And that's because the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is called Parsumi Nes. You have to publicize the nes, the miracle that happened. However, not in Rosh Hashanah, not in the public domain, rather by his courtyard, where the houses would open up. They had this communal courtyards that all the houses opened up. So for the, so to speak, the immediate neighbors, the people that were passing by, you put it by your doorway of your house, which is opening up into the courtyard so that everyone that's passing by could see. However, Imhoyer Dar Ba'aliyah, but if he lived on the upper floor, and therefore he has no place in the courtyard where to put it, because it's only the right domains of those who had doorways opening up into the courtyard. So then Manicha Bechaloy Nasmuch L'Rishus Rabim, then he places it by a window that's adjacent to the public domain, to the Rishus Rabim, in other words, inside, opposite facing the window, which is by the Rishus Rabim, that people from outside can see into the window. However, B'Shas HaSakana, but at a time of danger, where the Persians had certain Yom Tovim, their holidays, where they made that there's not allowed to be any candles burning anywhere in the whole country, only in the place where their avodah zarah, where their idols were, as the Gemara in Gittin says. So then a person can't have it, so to speak, by the window because it's dangerous, because it's against the law. Manich al shulchan abedai, then the person just puts it on his table, and that's sufficient. That will be yoytza his chiyav of, so to speak, presumi nisa for the people in his house for himself, that he'll see the Ner Chanukah for the menorah. So the Gemara qualifies this last statement that if it's in the time of Sakana, where it's being put in inside the house on the table only for the people inside, a meravet tzarch ner acheres l'shtamash l'ayra. But however, Rava says you need to light another candle, so to speak, to make a hacker, to make it obvious that this is not being used just for your own personal usage, because on your table it looks like you're lighting, so to speak, that you could see your food, whatever it is. And that's because it has to be something that you use for its light and not to be used in Ner Chanukah, and that's customarily what's known as the Shamash, which is, so to speak, one of the purposes it serves is also that, so to speak, if you're going to have usage from it, is that not to have the Hanoah from the Ner Chanukah, and we want it to be obvious that you're not using it for that, and that you have other candles, you have other purposes that you could see from, and why you're lighting this is just for the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, and that it will be obvious to publicize the nes that happened in all those years ago on the Yom Tov of Chanukah. However, Rava says, v'ikamadur, but if there's a large fire, then loitzach, then the person does not have to make a separate candle, and that is because he has light already from the bonfire, therefore it's obvious that why is he lighting this menorah, that this candle is being used just for the mitzvah and not for, so to speak, for illumination purposes, because he has a large fire already. However, v'yadim chashuva, if he's a distinguished person, that he doesn't customarily use a large fire for illumination purposes, then avagav de'ikamadur tzorchan arches, then even if there is a large fire, he still would have to make another candle, because if not, again, there wouldn't be any heck, it wouldn't be obvious that you lit this menorah for the Yom Tov of Chanukah to publicize the nest that happened all those years ago, because maybe you're lighting it for your purposes that you could see, to read from, to learn from, and that is because the large fire sings to your Adam Chashiv, you don't use large fires, that's why it wouldn't be obvious that it's being lit for the mitzvahs, that's why you have to light another candle. So now the Gemara discusses, what is the source of the Yom Tov Chanukah? Where does it come from? What are we celebrating? So the Gemara brings my Chanukah. What is the Yom Tov Chanukah? In other words, what happened? What was the miracle that because of that we established this Yom Tov Chanukah? The Tanaban, as we learned in the Braisa, B'chafei b'chislev yom de Chanukah. On the 25th of Kislev are the days of Chanukah. Teman ye'inun, there are 8 days. Delay l'misbet b'hen, we're not allowed to eulogize someone in those days. Udelay l'sanis b'hen, we're not allowed to fast in those days. And the reason is because shekesh nichnasu yivan l'heichel, when the Greeks, they entered into the heichel, into the sanctuary, into the Beis HaMikdash, timu kol hashmanim shebeheichel, they defiled, they made it impure, all the oil that was in the sanctuary. When the might of the royal kingdom, so to speak, of the Chashmenoam vanquished the Greeks, they checked and they searched all over. They didn't find only one flask of oil that was placed with the seal of the Kohen Gadol, that was hidden and had its seal. It was obvious that no one had touched it and defiled it. But it only had enough oil to light for one day, and it was going to take at least 8 days to go ahead and get new oil from the provinces to, so to speak, to process it. However, but a miracle happened, and it was lit from that one flask for all 8 days. And the following year, they established and they rendered those days as festivals, for saying halal and for giving thanksgiving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not that they made an asr b'malacha, because it was only established, as the Gemara says, for saying halal and for saying ala nisim and hoidah in the portion of Moedim, and that is the Yom Tov of Chanukah. Now the Gemara brings from the Mishnah that's related to the halachas that we were speaking about regarding Ner Chanukah. Tanan Hasan, we learned in the following Mishnah. Gets hayitz mitachas apatish. If there's a spark that goes out from under a hammer, in other words, a blacksmith that's banging and sparks go out, the yotz of hezek, and the spark goes out and it damages someone or something, chayiv, the blacksmith is responsible because the person is always liable for something that he caused. Similarly, gamol shaton pishn, if there's a camel that was laden with flax, v'oeve b'shasram, and is going through in the public domain, v'nichnasa pishtonu l'techachnus, and some of the flax, since it was a large bundle, went into a store, v'dolka b'neir shalchem, and it lit up from the candle of the storekeeper, v'hidlik hasabir, and it burnt up the whole store, Balagamalchayv, the owner of the camel, he's liable, he's responsible, because he shouldn't have made such a large bundle on the camel's back that it should be going into stores, and therefore it's his liability. However, if the storekeeper put his light on the outside, so similarly, regarding that, the storekeeper would be liable again, because that's his fault. Now he put the candle on the outside, and it's his fault that, so to speak, something is burning up, because he shouldn't have put it in that area. However, regarding the Ner of Chanukah, if he put that on the outside of his store, as people are supposed to do, they're supposed to put it by the gate, by the entrance of their house, then he wouldn't be liable, he'd be exempt, because then he did it brishus, with permission, so to speak, from the halachic perspective, because that's regarding the halach of Pirsim Hanes, that he has to publicize the mitzvah. Therefore, he put it there, so to speak, he had the right of way, and therefore he's not liable. However, Amar Ravina says, Zaysa Meres, that what this indicates is, that this that we said that the person is potter, if he's a storekeeper and he has his Ner Chanukah outside, so if let's say the camel passes by or someone gets damaged by his candle, that it's not his fault because he has the right of way to put it there, that Ner Chanukah mitzvah nicha b'toy chasara, obviously the halacha is that the mitzvah is to put the candle of the Ner Chanukah within 10 tefachim of the ground. Because if you would think that a person is allowed to put his menorah higher than 10 tefachim from the ground, so then what happens is the one that got damaged by the candle of the menorah from the storekeeper, he should tell the chenveni, the storekeeper, that you should have put your menorah above the camel and the riders. And therefore, since you can, so you don't have a right of way to put it here, people are passing by. So obviously from the fact that we say that he's potter is that he's allowed to and that he has to, so to speak, keep it there. Because it has to be within 10 tefachim, so he does have the right of way. And the Gemara says, no, it's not a proof. Because maybe if we would trouble the storekeeper so much, they would say he has to put it in the area that people that are passing by are not going to get damaged. It's going to refrain the people from mitzvah. So therefore, although mitzad halacha, it is permissible, possibly, it's not a raya, that you're allowed to have it higher than 10 tefachim. However, we did not mandate and we gave, so to speak, the right of way for the storekeeper to put it within 10 tefachim, because if not, he might come to refrain and not put it out because it's going to be too much of a tircha. So therefore, it's not a proof. Maybe the menorah could be higher than 10 tefachim. However, he's still not liable because we gave him the right of way because we did not want to be matriach him, to trouble him so much. Also, another halacha relating to the place where the menorah is put, Amrav Kahana, Dar Shav Nosen Ba Menyumi Mishmei Dreb Tancham. We continue on to the top of Chav Bezim and Alf. And Ner Shal Chanukah, Shanichal Amal Mechaf Amo, Psula. Regarding the menorah, the candle of the menorah of Ner Chanukah, was put higher than 20 Amos, higher than around 40 feet off the ground, that's invalid because that the eye of a person cannot see so far. It's not, even if they could see, but that's not normally within the range what people see. So therefore, there's not Parsumi Nisu, which is the main objective and the purpose of the Ner Chanukah. So therefore, you're not Mekayim, you mention Ner Chanukah, because it's not going to be publicized in the miracle because nobody's going to see it because it's too high up. As the Gemara brings, Kisuko Kamovoi, like just like we have regarding the Schach by a Sukkah, and regarding this crossbeam that goes by a Mavoi, that it's supposed to show you that this is where the Erev ends, and that's part of the Halacha of Erevin. And regarding the Schach, that you're supposed to know that you're sitting in the Sukkah, if it's higher than 20 Amos, it's invalid. It's the same idea because the eyes of people don't see so high, so therefore the Menorah of Ner Chanukah is possible, is invalid if it's above 20 Amos.